Eternal God, your only Son came to live among us and for 40 days and 40 nights went into the wilderness and was tempted. And at the end of his temptation, he came into our world and ministered among us, healed the sick, ate with the lost and the disenfranchised, and won us to you, and then set his face to Jerusalem. Grant that as we enter into this Lenten season, into these 40 days, we may journey with him to his cross, turn not away from him, and receive the gift of life which he offers to us. For we ask this in his name and for his sake. Amen. So, we all have a life dream of some sort. We all have a goal. We have just that one thing that we really want to attain in life. So I'd like for you to imagine for just a moment that you finally attain it, that you finally get to the place in life where you've attained this thing that you've wanted and that you've worked for and that you've dreamed of, only to get there and the clicker won't work. So just go to the next slide for me, Megan. Only to get there and to completely fail. Not by any fault of your own, or actually by some fault of your own, by the fact that you didn't do it quite as well as you'd hoped to do it. And in a minute, there's going to be a picture of Cam Newton at the post-game press conference there. Nope. Just don't worry about it. Just drop it. Forget it. Let it go. Because I'm going to let it go. Imagine, though, that you get there and it fails. It just didn't work. You didn't do what you needed to do. And then afterwards, because you failed, your failure is so public, and what you do as a result of your failure is so public that you have to carry that around. Cam Newton on Sunday evening. Or two presidents of the United States in most of our lifetimes, Bill Clinton and Richard Nixon, who reached the apex of their life and their career only because of their own shortcoming, their own fault, their own sin, failed. And their failure was so intensely public. No way to hide it. No way to keep that shame from being seen by everyone. And as public and as shameful as the burdens they bear, those aren't even the guys I want to talk about. Let's talk about King David for just a minute. 2 Samuel tells us that it was in the spring of the year, the time of year when the kings go to war. And David had sent his troops into battle, and then 2 Samuel gives us five devastating words, but David remained at Jerusalem. David wasn't where he was supposed to be. He was overcome perhaps by what the monastics of the Middle Ages called Acadia, the noontime demon, just slothfulness and laziness and not caring, and nothing seemed to matter anymore. Whatever the reason, David did not go into battle. He stayed in Jerusalem. He was where he shouldn't be. And you know how this story goes. We've talked about it over and over. He walked around on the roof of his palace. He sees a woman bathing over in the next yard. He sends for her. The language of 2 Samuel is quick and brusque and brutal. What David does is quick and brusque and brutal. And afterwards, to cover up his sin, his failing, it's always the cover-up, isn't it? It's never just the first thing. It's always the cover-up. To cover up his sin and failure, he has her husband murdered. And then the next day, the prophet Nathan comes into the court, into the king's palace. And Nathan says to David, I want to tell you a parable. There's a guy, big rancher, lots of sheep. His neighbor is a farmer with one sheep. Big rancher decides to throw a banquet. He takes the one sheep from the neighbor for the banquet. And David becomes indignant and demands that the man be brought to him. And Nathan says to him simply and prophetically and pastorally, you're the man. Now that shame is so public, I'm telling you that story 3,000 years after it happened. David can't shake that story. And I tell you that story because the tradition tells us that after Nathan comes in to David, David writes a psalm. In fact, in the Bible it says, a psalm of David when the prophet Nathan came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. And in the psalm that's recorded for us is the 51st psalm, David prays this, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless in your judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit." Now, for most of us in this room, our failings and our sins are not that public. They're not discussed on ESPN or in the News and Observer or on the news. But for all of us in this room, we bring in some place of brokenness, some place of failure, some place of sin and disappointment. It may be that we've hurt someone we love and we cannot forgive ourselves. It may be that someone we love has hurt us and we have not been able to forgive them, so much so that it catches and chokes in our throat every time we find ourselves praying, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." It may be something we've done at work. We may have cut some corner, hedged something, just one little thing at work. It may just be, over time, a gradual hardening of the spirit. We may have just developed sclerosis of the soul. But all of us have brought in here some brokenness, some hurt, some sinfulness. Joan Chittister is a Benedictine nun who writes about things spiritual, and she says that one of our problems is that we have set perfection as a high goal and we've set standards for ourselves that we just can't reach, that they're unattainable. And this is what she writes. "The problem is that we fail. We know ourselves to be weak. We stumble along, being less than we can be, never living up to our own standards, let alone anyone else's. We eat too much between meals. We work too little to get ahead. We drink more than we should at the office party. We're addicted to something. Those addictions not only cripple us, they convince us that we are worthless and incapable of being worthwhile. It is a self-fulfilling prophecy of the worst order because it traps us inside our own sense of inadequacy, of futility, and of failure." And we know what David knew. We know that we need mercy. But we look at ourselves and we ask ourselves, "Mercy, me." Because we don't think we're worthy of it or that we deserve it. And David knew. David understand. David asked God, he pleaded actually, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love." And what David knew, what Ash Wednesday reminds us, is that mercy and forgiveness has nothing to do with our being worthwhile. It has everything to do with the inherent nature of God. We're gonna talk in this Lenten season here about forgiveness a bit. And what we're going to remind ourselves of is that forgiveness is rooted in the nature of God. It's rooted in the person of God. We are forgiven because of the life and death and resurrection of one who took the punishment on himself for us, so that we might not feel the punishment. Mercy is God's way of not giving to us the punishment we deserve for that which he judges to be wrong in us. The difference, you've heard me say before, between grace and mercy is grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we do. And we find mercy here. We find mercy because of Christ. Mercy is a gift we receive. It's not a payment we've earned. David knew that, and I think David knew that because David knew God. In the old Methodist communion liturgy, the one we use one time a year, the one time a year we have communion on Sunday morning during Lent, we use the old service. And there's a prayer in the old service that I miss. I wish we prayed it every time now. It's called the Prayer of Humble Access. And in the Prayer of Humble Access, we used to pray this. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful God, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercy. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same God whose property is always to have mercy. We do not presume, but we do hope. And we hope because it's a hope grounded in the nature of God, in the mercy of God. We trust in the mercy of a God whose property is always to have mercy. And no matter what we've done, or how bad we think it is what we've done, or how worthless we feel inside, or how reluctant we are to forgive ourselves, we are welcomed by a prodigal God who waits to welcome us home with open arms. The signs of mercy are all around you tonight. Look around the room. There are ashes over here with two candles where William and Heather will be. Ashes to remind us of our mortality, to remind us that this merciful God still offers us eternal life even though we are mortal. And here on this side of the room, there is water and paper for us to write down those things that cling us and hold us back, and then to put them in the water and to let the water wash away that taint so that we don't carry it anymore. And in the first cup room, there are stations for prayer where Stephen ministers will be to anoint you with oil and to pray for you and to pray with you that you will know and receive this night the mercy of God. And when all of that's done, we will come back here together, and most centrally and importantly, we see on the table the signs and the reminders of the offering of himself for us, bread and cup, body and blood, broken and shed for us. And when you see all of that and you think to yourself, mercy, me, the answer is yes, you. Because God is merciful and God loves you and God desires to hold you in the palm of God's hand. Before we move to the stations, I want to read Psalm 51 again. I want to read it a little more slowly this time, a little more prayerfully, and I want to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes and to make this psalm your prayer as we enter into this Ash Wednesday observance together. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, O God, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when conceived. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. Amen. I invite you in the name of the church to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and mostly by reading and hearing, studying God's Word. We'll begin Lent together now by gathering at these stations and these places of mercy. You're free to go to them as you feel led. You're free to come back and sit in silence. You can go to one of the stations or all three. We're going to give you a good period of time to do that. Corey, who is our youth intern, is going to be here and moving around. And if you would like someone to just pray with you, and the line is long in other places, just find Corey and he'll be happy to pray with you. And after a season, Brent will start playing. And when Brent starts playing again, that's your signal to start gathering again together so that we may come to the table and receive the sacrament of grace. But now, as you feel led, journey to the place of mercy that you need this night and receive and know the grace of God together. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who repent of their sin, and who seek to live in harmony with one another. So I invite you to join me in the litany of penitence. Your responses will be on the screen as we confess our sins before God and one another. Let us pray. Most holy and merciful God, we confess to you and to one another that we have sinned by our own fault, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven.
Have mercy on us, Lord.
We have been deaf to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit. We confess to you, Lord, all our past unfaithfulness, the pride, hypocrisy, and impatience of our lives.
We confess to you, Lord.
Our self-indulgent appetites and ways, and our exploitation of other people.
We confess to you, Lord.
Our anger at our own frustration, and our envy of those more fortunate than ourselves. Our intemperate love of worldly goods and comforts, and our dishonesty in daily life and work.
We confess to you, Lord.
Our negligence in prayer and worship, and our failure to commend the faith that is in us.
We confess to you, Lord.
Accept our repentance, Lord, for the wrongs we have done, for our blindness to human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty. For all false judgments, for uncharitable thoughts toward our neighbors, and for our prejudice and contempt toward those who differ from us. For our waste and pollution of your creation, and our lack of concern for those who come after us. Restore us, good Lord, and let your anger depart from us. Accomplish in us the work of your salvation.
That we may show forth your glory in the world.
By the cross and passion of your Son, our Lord.
Bring us with all your saints to the joy of his resurrection.
Let us in silence now make our personal confessions to God. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us stand and join together as we give thanks to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You brought forth all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth you formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. When rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, you bore up Noah in the ark on the waters. Save Noah and his family had made covenant with every living creature on the earth. When you led your people to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, you gave us your commandments and made us your covenant people. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you gave him to save us from our sins, your Spirit led him into the wilderness, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for his ministry. When he suffered and died on a cross for our sin, you raised him to life and presented him alive to the apostles during 40 days and exalted him at your right hand. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And now when we, your people, prepare for the yearly feast of Easter, you lead us to repentance for sin and the cleansing of our hearts, that during these 40 days of Lent, we may be gifted and graced to reaffirm the commitment you made with us through Christ, who on the night in which he gave himself up for us took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, gathered here out of love for you and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in our service to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray as Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Stand and receive the dismissal. I say sometimes the most important thing I do and the most dangerous thing I do is to send you back into the world. So I do this night, and I send you back into the world this way. Go now into the world in peace. Know that the grace and mercy of God goes before you, and that the love of God surrounds you, and the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is with you, now and always. Amen.